Engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hello and welcome. It is Atlanta's Evening News here on WSB, and I am Eric Erickson. The phone number, if you would like to call in, is 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We must begin this evening with the People Are Stupid file, because people are stupid, and I don't like them. this is a headline at CBS News. Coronavirus cannot be cured by drinking bleach or snorting cocaine. Now, I highly don't recommend the drinking bleach part of this. In the wake of Russia's meddling in the 2016 election, Facebook and Twitter have been forced to respond to the proliferation of fake news on their platforms. And while many probably assume the bulk of this misinformation is political in focus, trolls and bots on social media have been actually linked to the marketing of vaping products, the anti-vaccine movement, and now fake cures for coronavirus. Prominent QAnon YouTuber Jordan Sather, for example, tweeted to his more than 121,000 followers that a miracle mineral solution, which effectively involved drinking bleach, can wipe out the Wuhan virus, the disease caused by the coronavirus. Not only is chlorine dioxide an effective cancer cell killer, it can wipe out coronavirus, too. Big Pharma wants you to be ignorant. And by the way, I'm always fascinated by the people who are convinced that there's some deep, dark, sinister plot by Big Pharma to keep people sick so that you keep coming back and buying their drugs. I swear the dumbest people come up with the most elaborate conspiracy theories to make themselves sound smart. Sadly, this is the CBS News report. Drinking bleach isn't the only dangerous cure that bad actors have peddled online with the outbreak. The most recent rumor spreading at rapid pace is that cocaine will counteract COVID-19. On Facebook, where a third-party fact-checking program is in place, many of these posts now have false information warnings that serve to warn users. But on Twitter, it's out of control. A verified account from someone named Bizzle Osikoya. Now listen, if you're taking advice from anyone on social media named Bizzle, you should probably reassess your life. Nonetheless, someone named Bizzle, a Nigerian music and entertainment developer with 190,000 followers, I have more followers, tweeted a doctored image which purports to be a screenshot of a breaking news segment on TV. It says, breaking news, cocaine kills coronavirus. It is a picture of a pile of cocaine, some lines of cocaine, and a rolled up $1 bill. Holy moly. I'm sorry. But if you believe, it's like the idiots who eat the Tide Pods. I'm kind of okay encouraging it just so we clean up the gene pool. I mean, if you're dumb enough to drink bleach to think it's going to cure you of the coronavirus, we got serious issues here. And if you think snorting cocaine is going to, and you know, here I had access to a cure that I didn't even know about. I think I mentioned this the other day. There was a police car, a canine police unit, parked out in front of our house the other day. And my wife's first reaction was, what have you said on radio that's causing the police to have to park out in front of our house? Now, that's a natural reaction. I mean, any of you have been following along this long probably know. It comes with the territory. My wife sees a police car in front of the house and thinks I must have said something on this here radio program that has caused people to be very angry with me. But it turns out one house up from, I mean, literally, we got a vacant lot and the house on the other side of the vacant lot up the street from me on the corner, they're running drugs and guns out of the house. Who knew I could go just one house down and get cocaine, meth, marijuana laced with fentanyl, and illegal guns stolen from other people all out of the house. Now, they weren't making the meth there, mind you. They were just repackaging it there, I guess. There was a huge drug raid in around the area, and 31 people arrested, including the people up the street. I mean, who knew I had direct access to cocaine, weed, and methamphetamine right there for my coronavirus cure? That's all. I just your neighbors will surprise you. And it's always in the nice neighborhoods where they hide. Nonetheless, this is, people are stupid. If you're drinking bleach or snorting cocaine to get rid of the coronavirus, you got serious, serious problems. And it, not a coronavirus. Update, there are 17 people in the state of Georgia right now with confirmed cases of coronavirus. It keeps going up. Globally now, it appears there are over 118,000 people worldwide. Now, I need to address this again, please, on the cases, because, you know, globally, you're talking about a population of several billion people, and only 118,000 people in the entire, on the entire planet have this virus. Why on earth are epidemiologists around the world making such a big deal about it? It really does seem like it's overkill, does it not? I want to try to explain that to you, and I don't know that I will do it justice, but I do want to try to explain it to you as to why they're making such a big deal out of it. And I need to correct myself. Apparently, I got a concerned voicemail last night from a listener in Atlanta who says, I said, if you're over 65, the disease is probably fatal. And I thought I started to say that slip out of my tongue, and it's wrong. And I thought I pulled it back and corrected myself, but I guess I didn't. I don't know. Only one person said this. That's not true. But it's about a 15% fatality rate if you're over the age of 65 and get this virus. So there is real concern there. And if you get to 80 years old, it's even worse. In fact, all of the deaths in the United States have been over 65. And the majority of the deaths, like all but two or three, have come from this nursing home in Seattle, Washington. In the grand scheme of things, this virus, when you look at the numbers, doesn't seem to be that big a deal. 808 people in the United States have it. But consider this. This morning, on my morning show, the number was 725. So it's gone from 725 to 808 in 5 hours. No, it's gone from 720 to 808 in 4 hours. That's a sign that there's a problem here. On top of that, Italy now has 10,149 cases. Now, Italy has a population of 60 million people. And so you're looking at that and you're thinking, huh, that's really not that bad, 10,149 people. The problem is that of those 10,149 people who have it, 9,000 of them have been diagnosed in less than the last 10 days, and over 400 of them have already died. That's the problem and why there's concern. But there's something else here we need to talk about so that you at least understand the epidemiological concern here. And before, you know, I'm trying to walk a very fine line here, and it's making a whole lot of people mad. But I think it's the right line to walk. This virus is not as big a deal as, frankly, a lot of the inordinate media coverage is giving it. But it's also not a minor thing. It is worse than the cold. And it is worse than the flu. In fact, if you get it, you will not just, you know how when you get the flu, your body kind of aches. This is actually painful if you get it. And it's not only painful if you get it. It's also, you know, even I have been saying that it really mostly affects older people, except we now have some really good Western data from Italy. There's a doctor there who got on Facebook and wrote about what he's experiencing. And this gives you a sense of why epidemiologists and the CDC are so concerned about it. The cases have exploded very rapidly. And according to this doctor in Italy, who's actually seeing this, it turns out that this virus is, contrary to initial reports, it is way more contagious than the flu. It spreads way more rapidly than the flu. And it survives in the wild longer than the flu, which makes it a highly contractible disease. And emergency rooms are beginning to overflow. And in this country, we're dealing with a situation where there are a lot of people in emergency care because of the flu. And now people are getting the coronavirus on top of it. And it's becoming really problematic. This Italian doctor says he shuddered at the thought of people complaining about not being able to go to the gym or soccer matches. Notice I'm translating football to soccer. Dr. Machini said the hospitals are preparing and reorganizing in anticipation of a widespread outbreak. The situation is now nothing short of dramatic. No other words come to mind. The war has literally exploded and the battles are uninterrupted day and night. Stop saying it's a bad flu. In the 2 years, I have learned that the people of Bergamo do not come to the emergency room for nothing. They behave properly this time, too. They followed all the indications given, a week to 10 days at home with a fever without going out and risking contagion, but now they can't take it anymore. They can't breathe. They can't get oxygen. Another doctor from Bergamo, anesthesiologist Christian Solaroli, told Italian newspaper that doctors are now forced to choose who to treat based on the patient's chances of survival. There are not enough rooms in the hospitals anymore for all of the sick people coming in with breathing. And this doctor stresses, pay attention to this because this hasn't been widely reported. He says the virus does not just affect old people, warning that younger people end up intubated in intensive care or worse in ECMO, a machine that extracts blood and reoxygenates it and returns it to the body, waiting for the organism, hopefully, and healing your lungs. He scoffed at people on social media who pride themselves on not being afraid and ignoring the rules, complaining because their normal lifestyle habits are temporarily in crisis, all the while an epidemiological disaster is taking place. Now, here's the thing. I have heard from innumerable people now that their next-door neighbor's brother, sister's daughter, son's boyfriend's lover is an epidemiologist in Podunk, Kentucky, and they haven't seen this virus, so clearly it's not a big deal. Or their child is an expert in an ER in some rural part of Oregon, and they haven't seen the virus, and therefore it's an overreaction, and it's no big deal. And in a lot of areas, frankly, it's not. There are only 17 cases in the state of Georgia. But it continues to spread. And the older you get, the worse the effects are. And the only way they can stop it is to caution you not to travel, and particularly if you're older, not to get on planes. But there's actually a bigger issue here. And it's not the disease itself. It's the economic ramifications. Y'all have seen the economic turmoil in the past week. Chris Burns, actually, he was on Fox and Friends this morning talking about this. And we've had him here in the last week several times to talk about it. Now, the upside is the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 1,168 points today. The NASDAQ's up 393, and the S&P 500's up 135 days. The New York Stock Exchange up 494 points. It's a great day. The president wants to do a stimulus plan, wants to help people. But there are real problems, and I don't know how to thread the needle more than to tell you guys that the odds are you're not going to get it. But the odds are that if it gets into your community, you probably will wind up getting it, or someone you know will wind up getting it. The odds are very few of you will wind up getting it. Just like every year, not a ton of you get the flu. But if you get this, please stop telling people it's just the common cold or it's just like the flu. It turns out we're seeing it now in Great Britain. We're seeing it in France. We're seeing it in Italy, every European Union country. We're seeing it even here in the United States. In almost every state now has it. And every single person who's getting it, their symptoms are actually worse than the flu. The pain is worse. The aches are worse. The coughing is worse. The congestion is worse. The lung distress is worse. And in every scenario we're seeing, the mild cases are still worse than your average flu. And that is a real problem. A lot of people want to understate it, and they want to understate it because we're all natural contrarians. We see the media overplaying this, and suddenly we're like, nah, it's really not that bad. Hardly anybody's getting it. In a nation of 150 million people, 700 people have it. It's really not a big deal. And you're absolutely right, statistically speaking. But also, it's spreading very fast. This is the beginning of it here, not the end of it here, unless we take some drastic action. And the people who are getting it are having all sorts of problems. And hey, there are a lot of people who are about to be put out of work because the economy is starting to slow down because people globally are freaked out about this. Is it overhyped from the media? In some cases, yes, it is. But in a lot of cases, you would never know about it if the media wasn't raising awareness and you would not be taking proactive steps right now in your family to stop from getting this virus if you didn't have that awareness raised. So where do you draw the line? I don't know that anyone has a good idea of where to draw the line, but here's where I'm drawing it. It's not nearly as bad as what some people are saying, but it actually is worse than what a whole lot of you are saying. It is somewhere in the middle in that gray area. Worse than the flu, but not like a fall over dead plague.
In-depth coverage of local and national news. Traffic from the WSB Skycopter every 6 minutes. Atlanta's Evening News with Eric Erickson. Sponsored by Comcast Business on 95.5 WSB. Atlanta's News and Talk.
It is Eric Erickson here at Lance's Evening News on WSB. The phone number is 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you can, I just let me put a neat little bow on this if I can real quick. Italy would not shut down its entire nation, and Ireland would not cancel St. Patrick's Day because of just a minor virus. There's clearly more to it, and containing it so it doesn't spread and mutate further is actually a high government priority. But are you going to get it? The odds are probably not. When we come back, though, let's have a small conversation on the truth and why we can and should call it the Wuhan virus. It is Eric Erickson here, Atlanta's Evening News. The phone number is 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. There is big election stuff tonight happening in a number of states. I do want to get to it, but I also want to take your phone calls and discuss some of these ancillary matters here floating around. First, I want to go to Pam in Braselton. Pam, welcome.
Hey, Eric.
Hi there.
What is your sense? I agree. We're somewhere between Ebola and this is just a cold. But when do you think we pass or have we passed it where you can be concerned that you will encounter somebody in public or Publix or Kroger, wherever, that has it? I mean, are we a week away from that? 2 weeks away? Are we there?
Well, so I need to have a discussion about straight line math real quick. And I don't mean to bore anyone with this, but essentially this virus, based on what we know originally, it's one person infects two people. So those two people then each infect two people. So now you've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven people. And it goes exponentially from there. And there are a lot of people who think the virus is actually more widespread in public than we know. For example, while flu rates dipped in this country over the last month or so, as epidemiologists think people were responding by washing their hands and safeguarding themselves. In New York City, in the last 3 weeks, there's been a massive spike in flu-like symptoms. And a lot of people are starting to think that's not the flu, that's the Wuhan virus. And so it's spreading more quickly. We actually don't have massive bed capacity in our hospitals in this country. And there's some troubling data out there that, for example, in Italy, that's the one I'm thinking of. In Italy, they've got 10,000 cases. Let me make sure I'm getting this right. In fact, a buddy of mine, it's kind of funny, Pam called that a buddy of mine literally just texted me this. In Italy, where is it? Yes, in Italy, more than half of the people who've gotten the coronavirus, that's 10,000 people, so 5,000 people minimum, have required hospitalization. 10% of those people, so 500 of the 5,000, have required ICU. And Italy is rapidly running out of bed space to the point that they're having to make life or death calls on who gets to stay and who has to go. And we actually now have this data that a listener just sent me. This is Scott Gottlieb. He's the former FDA commissioner. And he says, if you look at the literature now, 60 to 70 case fatality rate is probably about 4%. If you're between the ages of 60 and 70 and you get the Wuhan virus, 4% fatality rate. 70 to 80 is 10%. Above 80, it's 15%. But it's not a benign illness for someone in their 40s. One in 250 people of age 45 will potentially die. One in 550 people will die at the lower end of the 40s. So it's out of essentially 500 people in their 40s, one is going to die from this. But when you get up into the 80s, you're talking about less than one in 10, which is pretty dramatic. This is a significant virus that is spreading. Now, what happens when we go to Publix and Kroger? Well, the odds are you've been into a Kroger or a Publix, and there may have been someone in there, and you're not going to get it. And you're not going to get it because you haven't come into physical contact with that person, and you haven't been within 3 feet of that person. So I wouldn't panic at all at this point, based on what we know. I wouldn't panic about going in public where you need to go, but the CDC today has advised that people over the age of 60 avoid airplanes and airports and crowded areas, and they're right to do that because this disease deeply impacts people over 60. And again, in Italy now, we've got real-world Western medicine examples, not Korea, not Japan, not China. We've got real-world Western medical evidence in Italy. In the last 2 weeks, 9,000 people have been diagnosed. In 2 weeks, 9,000 people. They've got a total of 10,000 people. And of those 10,000 people, 5,000 of them have had to be hospitalized. And of those 5,000 people, 500 of them have been in ICU. And in northern Italy, they are completely out of hospital space now. That's why this is kind of a bigger deal than what a lot of people want to dismiss it as, because the rate of contagion is high, particularly among the elderly, and we have limited capacity in hospitals, particularly in this country right now, because so many people in this country don't get the flu shot, and there has been a big, strong wave of the flu in this country already. There are already hospitals are already at capacity around the country right now, which makes it problematic. Let's go. Oh, Jeff, you got a good question here. Jeff in Dunwoody, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon. Listen, I've got almost a conspiracy theory thought here, and I guess it's because of the election coming up tonight. Over the past couple of days, the media has been dead against having anybody mention Joe Biden's health or mental capacity. So my question to you is, let's assume that he gets close enough to the nomination that he picks a vice president nominee, and all of a sudden he has a stroke or they decide he's not it. If that nominee happens to be Hillary, does she move to the front of the line? And
yeah.
Then I guess the second question is, let's suppose that she's his nominee, and one thing leads to another, and he gets to be elected president. Is there a possibility of another Jeffrey Epstein where he might suddenly have a stroke?
Listen,
or be the 25th Amendment to make her president?
Listen, Jeff, I this is why he's not going to pick Hillary Clinton, because Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. I mean, honestly, no one's going to listen. If he picked Hillary Clinton, he would lose. Hillary gains him nothing in the coalition to begin with. In all honesty, she gains him nothing in the coalition. He wouldn't pick her. She's past her prime, frankly, when it comes to being a nominee. I suspect he may pick someone out of the box, if not Amy Klobuchar. He may pick the governor of New Mexico or someone like that. I don't think it'll be Stacey Abrams either. But, you know, okay, it is very clear that Joe Biden on the campaign trail is – there's – whether it's age or something else, it's not stuttering. Y'all, believe it or not, let me confess to something on this program, because you hear it on occasion. I stutter. And when I was a kid, I terribly stuttered. I terribly, terribly stuttered as a kid. Mel Tellis was actually a hero of mine, the country singer, because he overcame a stutter. And my brain gets ahead of my mouth, and I start speaking fast, and I trip over my tongue, and I begin to stutter. There's so much there. And what we're seeing from a lot of people in the media is that they're saying all of Joe Biden's problems on the campaign trail are stuttering. It's not. And it's disrespectful to people who stutter to blame Joe Biden's misstatements on a stutter. Saying that he wanted to help Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats take back the House of Representatives yesterday was not stuttering. That was an unstuttered statement of insanity. It's elder abuse to see him out on the campaign trail, frankly, like this. But here's the thing. Donald Trump does this stuff, too. And it's funny to me to see all the people who gave Donald Trump a pass on all of his crazy statements now suddenly upset about Joe Biden. But it's also very funny to me to see all the people who have criticized Donald Trump for 4 years, said we need the 25th Amendment, this guy's out of his mind, to listen to what Joe Biden says and say, oh, no, this guy's fine. It's all tribal. No, the truth is somewhere in the middle, just like on this virus.
Eric Erickson, connected to the people who make news.
And now on 4 till 6 every day.
95.5 WSB.
Atlanta's news and talk.
It is 55 after the hour. I am Eric Erickson. This is Atlanta's Evening News. The phone number is 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I need to spend a moment here on the Collins-Loeffler stuff. On the Collins side, I'm laughing at it, but I feel bad for the guy. So Doug Collins is in self-quarantine. A number of people, Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar, Doug Collins, who else? Ted Cruz and several others are now in self-quarantine because someone at CPAC had the coronavirus. And they're worried that it has spread, so they've gone into isolation. And the AJC picture that went with the story that Collins is in self-isolation is on Friday, him shaking hands with the president. And so the National Republican Senatorial Committee staffers are pushing that picture around, saying, did Doug Collins infect the president? No, he didn't. But it is really funny. I've got to acknowledge. But it's so silly. There's so many serious things here. Nikki Haley has come into town, had a huge rally for Kelly Loeffler, a major turnout in Cobb County for Kelly Loeffler with Nikki Haley there to support her. Haley is going to go around the state, among other things. But now on the unserious side from the Collins camp, they're blowing up Kelly Loeffler for buying a private jet. And I have to tell you, I'm deeply, deeply jealous about the private jet because I am desperate to have a NetJet subscription or something, in large part because the last time I flew home from anywhere, the woman next to me literally threw up for 4.5 hours. It was so disgusting. I felt so bad for the woman. She had altitude sickness coming back from Colorado. But nonetheless, they're beating her up for having this private jet. And the reason they're doing it is because the National Republican Senatorial Committee in Missouri, in the Josh Hawley, Claire McCaskill race, made a very big deal out of the fact that Claire McCaskill was, they called her Air Claire, and her husband had a private jet, and she would do these drop-in flights to Missouri, go to a campaign rally, and then fly back out. And the big issue there was that Claire McCaskill was the senator from Missouri, but hardly spent any time in the state. She would fly in from Washington, do an event, get on the plane, fly back to Washington. Or she'd fly in, do an event, and then have her plane fly her to the next stop, and a bus would show up to make it look like she was driving from place to place, and she wasn't. Personally, I think Loeffler could turn this attack on its head by doing hops around the state with this plane, go from Rome to Macon to Bainbridge to Waycross to Brunswick to Savannah, make a big loop and make it in a day, do it well planned out, and say, listen, he's attacking me for this jet, but I can get to you at the drop of a hat as your senator when the hurricane comes through or what have you. I can be here, I can meet with constituents, and I can go somewhere else, and it's worth it. And she can make a big deal about it in that way. It's such a lame attack on both sides. He gave the president the coronavirus, and that's not Loeffler doing it. It's the NRSC guys, and I realize they're just having fun with it. But then the Collins people, they're really after her for this private jet, and I'm sure part of it is jealousy. Hell, I'm jealous. I want one. But she's got a way to turn this around. And honest to goodness, people, is this the level of discourse we're going to have in this campaign? I mean, the candidates, frankly, Loeffler and Collins, they agree on pretty much everything. And why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Why can't we just let her be the senator like Governor Kemp suggested? Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, Atlanta's Evening News on WSB. The phone number is 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. And I am actually going to apologize to you guys for what I'm about to discuss. I'm going to spend a little more time on this virus stuff. And you guys know me. You've been listening here for a while, most of you. We've had a lot of new listeners lately. And those of you who are on the phones, y'all are just going to have to hold on because I need to make this point here. I made it on my morning show, and it needs to be said here as well. And, you know, presuppositionally, you know my worldview and stuff. So let me just start there. What is truth? You know, the dictionary defines truth as the quality or state of being true. Now, I had a high school English teacher named Carla Boykin, who I would fail if I gave her that definition, because her rule was you never use a word to define that word, and you never use a derivative of the word to define the word. So truth being the quality or state of being true, well, true and truth are derivatives, that's no definition. What is true then? Well, the definition of true is in accordance with fact or reality. So the definition of truth then is the quality or state of being in accordance with fact and reality. And Carla Boykin would have given me a pass on that. Well, you know, scripture tells us Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Well, what does that mean? It means for someone who's of faith, of the Christian faith in particular, Jesus is reality. God's real. He's factual. He's existent. And if you're called according to his ways, you're supposed to walk in truth. And so we have an obligation to fact if we're people of faith, and to reality because we believe Jesus is reality, and we harm our witness for the truth of the gospel if we're not willing to be grounded in the truth of the real world. We a lot of times, particularly in this day and age, a lot of people of faith in this country, and a lot of older people in this country, they dwell on the past, and young people dwell on the future. And you know, C.S. Lewis and Screwtape Letters is actually my favorite of the Screwtape Letters. I think it's number 15. Screwtape writes to Wormwood and says to whatever you do, keep humans grounded in the past or the future. Because if they're grounded in the past, they're always going to hate the future because it's never going to be as good as the past. If they're grounded in the future, that's better than being grounded anywhere else, because you're always anticipating something else, and when it arrives, it's never as good as what you built it up to be, and you're always disappointed. So you're perpetually in angst or disappointment. And never, ever, ever allow the human to be grounded in the present, because that's where you connect with the divine, and that's where you connect with the actual world. And we're supposed to be connected in the here and now, in the present, with the divine, and with the real world as it is. All of us can look at facts and figures, and we can arrive at different conclusions. So, for example, a progressive and a conservative can see a homeless man who needs help. That is factual reality. The conservative and the progressive, they see this homeless man who needs help, and they can both say, aha, this is reality. Here is a homeless man on the Peachtree Street, and he needs help. And then they can assess based on their worldview, their presuppositions, their foundational ideologies. They can arrive at different conclusions based on the same facts. The progressive can say, well, we need more taxes. We need more government intervention. There's got to be a government program to help this person. And the conservative can say, government has clearly left this guy behind. We need the church. We need his family. We need local nonprofits. We need the city itself to do something, not the federal government. And so we can arrive at different conclusions. Let's just, for presupposition, let's, for the sake of argument, let's say climate change is absolutely real. Global warming is happening. Progressives and conservatives can look at the data and they can quibble over human intervention and stuff. But let's just say, okay, the world is warming up. Well, a progressive can say we need massive government intervention to stop this. And a conservative say, humans are adaptable. This is no big deal. We will overcome this. The private sector will deal with it. Now, that drives the left crazy when you say it. But you can see the same set of facts for the sake of argument, except they're real right now. And we can come to different conclusions on it, but we're all grounded in the same facts. We, particularly those of us who call ourselves Christians, have to be grounded in truth, have to be grounded in fact and reality. So the reason I bring this up is because I'm seeing a bunch of conservatives, including some of you, and I don't mean to be insulting, but you know, I follow a lot of you and you guys follow me on Instagram, and I'm seeing a lot of people circulate stuff that's simply not true, including this thing. It is a picture. It says, posted at a doctor's office today. Every election year has a disease. SARS in 2004, avian 2008, swine 2010, MERS 2012, Ebola 2014, Zika 2016, Ebola 2018, Corona 2020. Coronavirus has a contagion factor of 2. SARS was 4. Measles is 18. Coronavirus has a cure rate of 99.7 for those under 50. It infects. Coronavirus spread is leveling off. This is a viral pneumonia being hyped as the Black Plague before an election. I have seen more than 100 people. I have kept track of this because it infuriated me when I started seeing it yesterday. More than 100 people have posted this. One, it is a damn lie to say this was posted in a doctor's office. Excuse my language. This is designed to so minimize the Wuhan coronavirus that it's not true. It is not truth. If you are someone of faith, if you're someone who believes that there is real truth out there, disseminating this, you're a Christian, is a sin, because this is a flat out lie. SARS actually broke out after the election in 2002 and was actually worse and more fatal in 2003. The avian flu broke out in 1997, and it came back later in an odd-numbered year, and it was more deadly. The swine flu happened in 2009. MERS, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, happened in 2014, but it happened in Saudi Arabia. And then it spread to South Korea in 2015. Only 15 people in the United States were impacted. Ebola has been happening for years around the world. Not around the world, I'm sorry, in Africa. It is actually really freaking arrogant. And I said freaking. It is really freaking arrogant for anybody. I almost said you people, but it's not all of you. But it's really arrogant for people to look at Africans hemorrhaging to death with an Ebola virus that's been plaguing that continent for more than two decades and say, oh, it's the Africans trying to impact the American election. It is the height of arrogance to look at all the people who died in Saudi Arabia and South Korea from MERS and say from the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome and say, oh, well, it was to impact the American election. Must be some sort of media conspiracy to own the president. And by the way, it's not a cure rate of 99.7%. It's a recovery rate. There is no cure for it. You recover from it. And it put another way, I assure you that Italy is not shutting down its entire country and Ireland is not canceling St. Patrick's Day because of a viral pneumonia being hyped as the Black Plague before an American election. It's not only arrogant to believe that, it's also stupidity to believe that. And it frustrates me because you're harming your own credibility, and it's conservatives who are doing this, and we are inevitably our own worst enemy when we do stuff like that. The good news is that more people have probably contracted this virus than we know, so mortality is actually less. But even by the best estimates, it's a higher mortality rate than the flu. Those above the age of 60, it gets up to a 15% mortality rate. And the bad news is that serious symptoms can take up to 14 days. So, for example, in Italy, you got 10,000 people who now have this virus, and 9,000 of those 10,000 people have been diagnosed in the last 10 days. These are the facts. This is the truth. It's like the media being butthurt by Republicans saying this is the Wuhan virus when the media itself was using that phrase for 2.5 months. People in the media use that phrase. The only reason they're saying it's racist now is because the Trump administration is regularly using it. Did you know that the Ebola virus is named for a river in Africa? Zika is named for a forest in Uganda. I'll give you one guess where St. Louis encephalitis is named for. What about the West Nile virus? Any idea here? Most of these viruses are based on geographic naming. For the media to come out and say, oh, it's racist to call the Wuhan virus. No, it's what we do. Every major virus is named. Lyme disease is named after Lyme, Connecticut. The media, of course, you know, listen, there are a whole lot of people in the media going to hell who they need to repent because they are disingenuous and dishonest. But it pains me to see so many conservatives out there who are so upset about the media over-politicizing this that they're spreading a bunch of garbage and BS on social media trying to say, oh, this is just a media conspiracy to own the president. No, it's not. It's actually a serious condition, and a bunch of people have died from it, and that mortality rate is going to go up, and it's going to spread further in this country. It is not contrary to this thing on social media in decline around the world. It is in China now, but it's actually spreading like wildfire around the world. If you believe in truth, all of us are going to get it wrong sometimes, but we all need to do a better job of trying to get it right and clear and strutting the record straight when we've gotten it wrong. And doing stuff like this is just absolutely unhelpful. And frankly, it's giving a lot of people on the right a false sense of safety and security when there's no need to panic, but there is need to prepare.
He exposes government abuse.
He keeps politicians and officials in check.
That's Eric Erickson, every day 4 till 6 on 95.5 WSB, Atlantis News and Talk.
All right, I've done a disservice to people on hold. I'm going to go back there to Kelly in Snellville. You're going to be next. Welcome.
Hi, this is Carrie. I am very concerned about the healthcare workers in our hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
When they go into a person suspects they have the COVID-19, you know, virus, They go into an emergency room. It's been my experience that they are not set up in hazmat suits. You greet somebody at a desk,
right.
And by the time, and then there's the actual nurses and doctors that are taking care of them once they do determine they have that. And it's also my understanding it takes 3 days to get a confirmation that they have it, the ones that they
can. And I think they're rolling out tests. I read that speed up. So the situation is in areas where they know that there has been an outbreak, most of the emergency room practitioners are already preemptively wearing masks, and they're giving people masks at the door when they come in. And there are signs, if you're having these sorts of symptoms, put this mask on at the door to try to minimize that contact. Now, not everybody's going to do that. There's this idiot out in Missouri who his daughter tested positive for COVID-19, and he took his other daughter to a dance. What a moron. Everybody needs to be like that father here in Atlanta who behaved the way he was supposed to. Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders both canceling events in Cuyahoga County, Ohio. You know, Cuyahoga County, that's the one that, back in the day, Megyn Kelly had to go down the hall and check because Karl Rove kept saying, wait for Cuyahoga in Ohio. Eh. All right, to the phones, Tracy and Cummings, sorry for keeping you waiting for so long.
It was a great wait. I have a question. What's your thoughts on the possibility of a Democratic presidential candidate having Michelle Obama as their vice president running?
You know, in Democratic fantasy land, that fantasy is right there at the top, a Biden Michelle Obama ticket. That would absolutely, they are convinced if they could get Michelle Obama. Now, I should note that I've been told very reliably by a number of people who are close to the Obamas that it is not going to happen, that is absolute fantasy land. But I got to tell you, that would be a powerful ticket for the Democrats to run. It would be a very powerful ticket for the Democrats to run because there are a lot of people who very much like Michelle Obama. And frankly, you know, this is part of the problem that the Republicans are going to have in 2020 is Biden is a very known commodity for a lot of people. And so there are a lot of people who aren't scared by him. And that's one reason that the Trump campaign is playing up the mental issues, the missteps with Joe Biden for 4 years. And by the way, I've seen people say, oh, well, it's never really been anything other than a fringe theory about Donald Trump. No, it hasn't. For 4 years, Democrats have been talking about the 25th Amendment, the president's unfitness for office, and his mental capacity and intellectual lack of curiosity. For 4 years, they've had pundits on TV saying this. I mean, for God's sakes, on CNN, they actually had a guy comparing the president to Hitler and saying the president was worse. But the media has largely passed on the campaign trail for the elder abuse being inflicted on Joe Biden. The man doesn't know what country he's in, let alone what day it is. There's clearly something there. But here's the larger issue here. My buddy Steve pointed this out, and I need to write a little more about this. And he's written about it at the Resurgent, theresurgent.com. Donald Trump has not changed in 4 years. The Donald Trump of 2016 is the Donald Trump of 2020, whether it's mental, whether it's lack of intellectual curiosity, Donald Trump hasn't changed. In the last 4 years, Joe Biden's mental state has rapidly, clearly deteriorated. And that's a fundamental difference. You can say all you want about the president is not in his right mind. The president says crazy, ludicrous stuff. The president called Tim Cook of Apple, Tim Apple, things like that. But that's Donald Trump, and that's the Donald Trump of 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. The Joe Biden of 2020 does not have the mental capacity of the Joe Biden of 2016 or the Joe Biden of 2015, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, you name it. This Joe Biden has clearly aged dramatically. Now, we need to kick it over to Edgar because we got the vice president coming up with a conference.
That's right, Eric. The task force led by Mr. Pence is now reconvening today, now underway with the press briefing at the White House. Let's go to that live.
And today gives evidence of the fact that it is also a whole of America approach. We're bringing the full resources of the federal government and the full resources of this great economy and our great business sector to bear in protecting the American people and protecting American families. A few updates from today. As we continue to expand testing availability across the country, testing is now available at all state labs. By the end of this week, there will be more than 4 million more tests made available in jurisdictions around the country. 1 million are already in place. Thanks to the good work of our top commercial labs that the President Trump brought together yesterday, LabCorp and Quest are in the process now of distributing and marketing coronavirus tests all across America. And we're working with state and local officials to ensure that that happens as rapidly as possible. But as the testing is expanding, we wanted to make sure the American people knew that testing was available to them and that cost would not be a barrier. Today, President Trump assembled the top health insurance executives in America. And as we announced earlier today, all of our major health insurance companies have now joined with Medicare and Medicaid and agreed to waive all co-pays, cover the cost of all treatment for those who contract the coronavirus. They've committed to no surprise billing, and they've committed to encourage telemedicine. It was a year ago that Medicaid actually expanded to pay for telemedicine. Medicare pays for telemedicine. So now for seniors who may think that they are either at risk or have contracted the disease, they can get medical advice without having to go to the doctor or go to an emergency room. I know I speak for President Trump when I say how grateful we are to see our health insurance industry step forward to meet this need so that, no American should be concerned about being able to pay for or afford the cost of a coronavirus test if they deem and their doctor deems it to be appropriate and necessary. President also went to Capitol Hill today to meet with members of the United States Senate Republican Caucus. There he talked about an economic package, including a call. He's calling for payroll tax relief. And I think most important to the president's heart, we want to make sure that hourly workers, hardworking blue-collar Americans that may not have paid family leave today, that small and medium-sized businesses in America would be afforded the resources to provide paid leave so that no one would feel that they have to go to work if they might be infected or if they might have been exposed to the coronavirus. We had a good reception on Capitol Hill. Our legislative teams have fanned out. We're going to be working with Republican and Democrat leadership to move an economic package. Larry Kudlow will be reflecting on that in just a few moments. We also talked about what are known as N95 masks, and we're working. Senator Deb Fischer and others have important legislation that would extend temporary liability protections so that masks that are made for industrial use could be sold to hospitals to ensure that our healthcare workers are properly protected and outfitted. We're grateful for growing bipartisan support for that measure, and we're going to be working earnestly with Republicans and Democrats to move reform that would make more N95 masks available. I'm also pleased to report that we did receive this afternoon a comprehensive proposal from the cruise line industry, a proposal that includes advanced screening, improving medical services on ships, providing for airlift evacuation and land-based care at the expense of the cruise lines for anyone that might be in not only infected with the coronavirus, but with any serious illness. We'll be reviewing that in the next 24 hours. The president's objective is for us to make cruise lines safer, even as we work with the cruise lines to ensure that no one in our particularly vulnerable population is going out on a cruise in the near future. I'm going to recognize Dr. Fauci to talk about where we are. And Dr. Birx will give us some research that she's done on the scope. We'll have other updates. But let me say once again, this is a whole-of-government approach. And from early on, President Trump has insisted that our government at the federal level, all of our partners at the state level, work in concert to protect the American people. And as we stand here today, the risks to the average American of contracting the coronavirus remains low. But we're absolutely determined to give every American the tools and the information that they need to protect themselves, their families, their workplace, their schools, and we're going to work together. We're going to work together to see our way through this, and working with leaders in both parties in Congress, working with leaders at the state level all across this nation, I'm confident we will. With that, Dr. Tony Fauci.
All right, Vice President Mike Pence there updating the nation on the latest as far as the coronavirus response from the White House and the administration. The bullet point takeaways quickly, health insurers, Pence says all the major health insurers will waive all copays for any customer that wants to get a coronavirus test. Also, the vice president says that the administration is working on some help in the economic realm that includes payroll tax relief and other points as well. More details on this in the 6 o'clock news.
Well, Waffle House Incorporated says a worker at their store in Canton, Georgia, has tested positive for COVID-19, the Wuhan coronavirus, and worked on March 1st. The store on the 1800 block of Marietta Highway was closed so it could be thoroughly sanitized, the company said. The worker in question has since been released from the hospital and is under quarantine. Waffle House said it worked closely with the Cherokee County Health Department when the positive test was diagnosed. Waffle House said the health department instructed them to tell workers who were working with the infected person on March 1 to self-quarantine through Sunday. The company said, to its knowledge, no other associate has shown signs of illness. We continue to work with state and local health department personnel for guidance. Waffle House said, for now, this is the only COVID-19 issue at any of its locations anywhere. Thank goodness for that. This will be one of those situations where we find out exactly how significant this situation is, particularly because of the teacher in Fulton County Schools who was that sick on Friday that they closed schools today. Given the symptoms, that person should have spread it. I mean, just statistically speaking. And so we'll get a sense of whether or not the situation is as bad as the media has been blowing it up to be or not. We'll find out, I suppose, in the next few weeks.